Well, thanks, Barry. Welcome, everyone. It's just good once again to be together. Just been feeling over the last few days that I wanted to talk about this whole topic of disappointment. Because I guess at some point in our lives, all of us will have been disappointed. We may have been disappointed with a job. We may have been disappointed with people. We may have been disappointed with church. You know, we may have had dreams and things that we've longed to see happen. Maybe for a healing. And, you know, we've longed for it, we've prayed for it, we've wanted it. And we just had this hope that one day something will be different. And sometimes things aren't different and we end up disappointed. And so I just want to talk a little bit about that this evening, and I'm really just trusting that Father touches our hearts and helps us with this, because disappointment is a hugely crippling thing. It steals our life. You know, Jesus said he came that we would have life and life in all its fullness, that we would have an abundant life. And when we suffer disappointment, that life is stolen from us. And it's like, you know, Satan comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And one of the ways he does it, and he does it very, very well, unfortunately, is he robs us of our hope. And that causes us to be disappointed. And, you know, I guess the reality is it's something we all struggle with from time to time. And sometimes it's huge things that we really feel like our hope has been stolen from us and taken away from us. And you know, we're left in this state, even to the point where we question God. You know, it's like everything that we've built our life on somehow doesn't sort of come to anything, and we end up with this huge disappointment in God, not just in circumstances, not just in the job, not just in with people, not just with healings or lack of healings, but we end up feeling disappointed with God. And that's a very sad place for us to get to. And it's not actually helped, I don't think, sometimes when we read verses like Romans chapter 5, verse 5, which is a verse we regularly read on the webcast and regularly teach on and so on. But I want to try and put that verse in context this evening a little bit. Hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And we often read the last bit of that that verse, you know, that God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And we kind of focus on that little bit of the verse. And of course, we all want to receive God's love into our hearts and live in love and so on. But what it says is, it says that hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And I think the reality is many of us feel sometimes that actually our hope has disappointed us. That we've hoped for something, we've longed for something, we've sought after something, we've desired something, and you know, it just hasn't happened, and we end up being disappointed. And we start to question, and what does this verse really mean? You know, here am I, full of disappointment, but yet I'm not supposed to be, because God has poured his love into our hearts. And it doesn't help us in some ways get out of that state of disappointment or longing. for something. And I think what I think that verse is saying to us is that the hope that Paul is writing about in Romans chapter 5 is our eternal hope in our salvation and our shared inheritance with Jesus. You know, and that hope, that eternal hope of our salvation, of our inheritance, of our sonship, that is unchangeable. That will not go away. That will not be taken from us because God the Father has poured his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And you know, I think when Paul is writing about hope and writing about us not being disappointed, he's calling us to focus on our eternal hope and our eternal salvation, which is stored up for us and given to us through Jesus. That eternal hope is guaranteed to us because the Holy Spirit has come and the Holy Spirit pours the Father's very own Spirit into our hearts. And I think sometimes it's easy for us to lose sight of our eternal hope, which will not disappoint us, because the things that we're hoping for, the things that we're longing for, sidetrack us from this eternal longing and eternal desire. That's not to say that the things that we're sidetracked with are bad or wrong, because they're not. They're very, very real, because they affect our day-to-day lives. They affect the way we feel. They affect the way we think. They affect the way we behave. They affect our heart. And, you know, the truth is these things that cause disappointment, we all face. We all experience them. You know, things happen. Things don't happen sometimes. You know, we're let down. We're taken advantage of. We experience pain. You know, maybe you're going through a sickness. Maybe you know a family member who's going through a sickness and you've really wanting to trust God and seek him and believe him, but yet you don't see anything happening. And that hope in God, that hope in the situation changing, that hope in things happening when they don't happen, it leads us to feel disappointed. And that disappointment is a very, very real and very, very strong feeling. You know, it does grip us and it does affect us in a very, very big way. And, you know, all of us probably have had prophetic words over our lives of what God wants to do in us and through us. And, you know, those words are so important to us and we need them. But sometimes the things that have been prophesied or the things that have been spoken over us, they don't happen for one reason or another. And, you know, we put our hope in what we feel God has said, and then we feel disappointed because it doesn't happen. And, you know, I really want to encourage us that hearing God's word, it's something John spoke to us about last week on the webcast. Hearing God's word is really, really important. And we need prophetic encouragement from other people for our lives. We need to hear what God is saying to us personally as direction, as encouragement, as where he wants to lead us or take us. We really need to hear that. But, you know, I guess all of us have probably had, you know, times that we've had really, really, really clear prophetic words given to us. And yet as the months, maybe as the years go on, we don't see these things happening. And we become disappointed. And that disappointment robs us of something that I really believe the Father wants us to live in. See, we lose heart. We become weary. We become tired. We become worn out. We become despondent. It's like we lose something of our vision, something of the calling of God upon us. And this disappointment is something that is hugely, hugely real and can actually be very, very painful for us to walk through. As I've thought about this over the last few days, I think we do one of two things with disappointment. I'm not totally sure that either of these things is particularly good, and I want to try and explain this just in the next few moments. When we're disappointed, say we're disappointed in a person, a person's let us down, or a person hasn't lived up to our expectations, or a relationship is not going as we wanted it to go, for any number of reasons. And so the hope that we've put in that relationship doesn't work out as we wanted it to. And so we feel this disappointment. And one of our coping mechanisms is that we hold that person at a distance, or we hold that situation. We maybe hold the church at a distance. Maybe even we hold God at a distance. And it's like something in our heart is closed. Something closes down inside of us. And we build this wall of defense around us in order to keep this disappointment away from us. Because what we're saying is, if that disappointment can't touch me, I won't feel any more pain. And so we don't want to feel the pain. And of course we don't want to feel pain. So we push it away. But when we do that, that causes our heart to close up. It causes our heart to close down. It causes defences to be built around us. If it's a situation with another person, it causes a relational chasm to open up between the two people. If it's between us and, say, the church, it causes a division between us and the church. If it's between us and God, it's like we keep him at a distance. We don't want him to get too close. And I don't think that's the right way of dealing with it, but I think sometimes it's the only way we can deal with disappointment, because we don't want any more pain. And I know I've done that. You know, when I've been disappointed with or faced disappointment, the way I've coped is by pushing it out there and not letting it touch me. But I've realised that in doing so, my heart closes down. And when my heart closes down, it becomes hard. And when it's closed and hard, it's an area of my heart that the Father cannot pour his love into. So I think that's one way we try and deal with disappointment, is we try and just push it outside of us and push it away from us, because it's too painful for us to touch. Of course, the other thing that we do is we take the disappointment on, and it causes more pain and more disappointment. You know, if we don't push it away, we let it come in, and this like disappointment wounds us and hurts us and breaks our heart. And again, you know, I don't think that's the right way to deal with it and to handle it, because all we're then doing is taking pain and suffering into our lives, and we end up living in pain, which is not how Father wants us to live. So I think these are the two coping mechanisms that we have to deal with disappointment. These are the two ways we try and cope, or we try and respond to areas and issues of disappointment in our life. I think there's another way of of handling it, which I want to try and sort of focus us onto in the next few minutes. You know, we've got this dilemma. What are we going to do? Are we going to ignore it and have a closed heart? Or are we going to take it into us and end up feeling more pain? And I don't think if that was our only choice, it's very sad. But I don't actually believe that's the only choice that we have. Because what we can try to do is to turn this transitory hope into the eternal hope, which does not disappoint us. Because we have to take God's word as being true. That when God says in his word that hope does not disappoint because God has poured his love into our hearts, we have to take that as truth and reliable and something that we can build our lives on. So what we've got to try and do is turn this transitory hope where we're putting our hope in situations or our hope in people or our hope in healing or something. We've got to try and turn that into the eternal hope. We've got to come back to the hope which comes when we live in love. Because that's what Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. He's talking about an eternal hope that will not disappoint us. And the guarantee of that eternal hope is God's love being poured in our hearts, where we can begin to truly live in love. See, we can't afford to keep it at a distance, and nor can we afford to take it on board and cause more suffering. It's only when we are soaked in love that we can turn it round so that we can live in the guarantee of our inheritance. And I think if we can come to that place where we are really, really living in love, where we are really, really being soaked in love, where we are, as my book is entitled, where we are planted in love, I think we can then begin to turn this disappointment around so that we live in the guarantee of our inheritance. We live in the guarantee of who we are. We live as sons and daughters. And for me, and this is really just out of my own personal experience, the way I've found of living with disappointment, the way I've come to handle disappointment is to come back to the promises of the Father. Come back to the eternal truth of God's word. And this is where John was very, very helpful to us last week. Because he gave us a very, very practical, very practical guidance and instruction on how we can hear the Father speaking to us. And when we are faced with disappointment, you know, when we're struggling with those things that are not seemingly getting any better, when we're struggling with illness or sickness, and it's kind of like we're saying, "Where are you, God? You know, where are you in this?" And you know, different people sometimes say different things to us, and our emotions go in different places and we feel different things. What we need to do is come back to what Father has said to us. And we need to hear him speaking to us personally. We need to hear him speaking into our hearts. We need to hear his life-giving word now into our hearts. But we also need to hear what his word says, because we need to put those two together. Because sometimes when we're in a state of disappointment, when we're fighting our emotions, when we're fighting, you know, something or a situation that we really want to see change and we're not seeing any change, it's very easy for our emotions to go all over the place. And, you know, we feel all sorts of things. And you know, we need to listen carefully to what Father is saying, and we need to measure that and balance that with what he's saying in his word. So if, you know, my encouragement, I think, for us this evening is, if you're struggling with disappointment, you know, if you're living with disappointment, maybe you've recognized that you've you've tried to push it away from you because it's been too painful, and you've pushed it away, and maybe you're just even recognizing as I'm talking that that's actually caused part of your heart to close down. You know, maybe if you haven't done that, but you've just let this disappointment overwhelm you, it's like that's just caused more pain and more turmoil. What I want to encourage you to do this evening, maybe just after the webcast is over, or maybe tomorrow or whatever, is come back to the promises of the Father. Come back to what Father has said to you. And, you know, maybe get your journal out. Maybe write some of the things down. Maybe do some soaking and say, Father, what are you saying to me? Come back to his word. Come back to his word that is written down in Scripture for us, because there is so much encouragement there for us that we can just drink in. I call it praying the Scriptures. And, you know, if disappointment has got a hold on you and you feel like your life has been drained out of you, what I would encourage you to do is find a psalm or a passage of Scripture somewhere in Isaiah or something that is really encouraging and really upbuilding. And then what I would encourage you to do is pray the Scripture. It's just read that psalm over and over and over again as a prayer. So, for example, you know, we all know Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, what I would do with that is say, Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, that you are my shepherd. Thank you, Father, that you always care for me, that you lead me and you guide me like a shepherd looks after his sheep. Father, thank you that I don't need to be in a place of wanting anything, because you are all I need. You are all I desire. And just take a psalm and pray every verse through. You know, he leads me by still waters. Father, I thank you that in the midst of this disappointment, in the midst of this struggle, you are leading me by still waters. Father, I thank you that you set a table, a feast before me in the midst of my enemies. Father, I thank you that even though I feel like I'm surrounded by my enemies, Father, I thank you that your provision is rich for me. See, Psalm 23 is easy to do because we all know it, but you can pick any psalm. You can pick many, many passages in Isaiah and just read it through a couple of times and then pray it verse by verse, because that will really lift your heart. And that's feeding yourself on God's word, which will sustain you. You see, the problem with disappointment is instead of us feeding on it, it feeds on us and it drains our life. It robs us of our life and it drains us of our energy. And it's like a sucking thing that sucks all the life out of us. And, you know, as it does that, this disappointment gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it becomes all-consuming. But the moment we put that to one side and we focus on the Father, we focus on what he's saying, we focus on his word, it brings back that source of life within us, and it does us good. And I would really, really encourage you this evening that if you are struggling with disappointment, you know, if something you've really hoped for years and years and years, and you've wanted to happen, you feel God has spoken about it happening, you know, it could be relationships, it could be marriages, it could be work, it could be children, it could be finances, it could be sickness, it could be just anything. And if you feel like this disappointment is sapping life away from you and your hope is being destroyed, come back to the Father's voice and say, Father, what do you want to say to me? Grab hold of some Scripture and pray it. You know, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Father, I thank you that you are my light. You are my salvation. You will save me. You know, that lifts us up, it builds us up, and actually it starts to encourage us. And I would really, you know, disappointment is so major. It's something we all face. It's something we all struggle with. And it's like sometimes we even get to the stage of questioning God. And, you know, God never disappoints us because he is the eternal steadfast rock. And I think we need to take a conscious effort to put the disappointment to one side and focus on what Father is saying. I just put here a few passages that I just want to read because I find these really encouraging. And if you're struggling with disappointment this evening, if you're struggling with areas where your hope has been taken away from you, feed on these this evening. Isaiah chapter 40. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't grow faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Just before I move on, I just want to pray that scripture into your hearts. If you're feeling like your life has been sucked out of you, you know, you're feeling like you are falling exhausted, I just want to pray this into you. So Father, thank you that you are the everlasting God. Father, thank you that you never grow tired or weary. Father, thank you that you come to those who are feeling tired and weary, and you strengthen us and you give us power. That even when we feel like we want to fall exhausted, even when we feel like our life has been drawn out of us, even when we feel like this disappointment is consuming us, Father, we thank you that we can stop and wait for you. And you have promised to renew our strength. Father, you've promised that we shall rise up with wings like eagles, that we will run and not be weary, that we will walk and not faint. And Father, this evening, for those sons and daughters who are struggling, who are feeling like this disappointment has consumed them, Father, I pray that you would just pour your strength into their heart. Father, that you would come to them. Father, that as they wait on you, their strength would be renewed. Father, that they would indeed rise up with wings, on wings like eagles. And instead of being worn down and weary, Father, there would be life springing up within them. The next passage I just put is Isaiah 43. Thus says the Lord, he who created you, he formed you. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. Isn't that so encouraging that, you know, when disappointment eats into our life and it's like we need the reassurance that we belong to him. You know, when our hope has gone and when disappointment overwhelms us and when we're feeling like we're sinking, we need to know that we belong to him, that we are his. He has called us by name. He knows each one of your names. And he has called you by name. You are his. Whatever you're going through tonight, whatever disappointment you're facing, whatever you're struggling with, you belong to him. You might feel like you're passing through the waters, but he will be with you. Might feel like the river is going to cause you to drown, but it won't overwhelm you. It might feel like you're walking through fire, but you will not be burned. This is the truth of God's word that we need to come back to. This is the truth that feeds us and causes life to begin to well up within us again. This is the truth that is given to us as a guarantee that because we're living in love, because we're living in relationship with the Father, this is the real truth. And it's so easy to be swayed by circumstances, which are very, very real and very, very powerful. But when we come back to the truth, it feeds us and it sustains us. And so my encouragement is, if disappointment is overwhelming you, come back to the truth. Lamentations, we know it well. This I call to mind, therefore I have hope. You see there, here's the writer saying, my disappointment. If you read the rest of Lamentations chapter 3, the first 20 verses, you know, the guy is having a really bad day. You know, everything is going wrong. He is suffering disappointment in a major way. Everything is going wrong. And he says he has hope. Oh, I've frozen. Am I back? Okay, sorry about that. Just for the recording, we're back on again, having frozen. I was just referring to Lamentations. You know, the guy's having a bad day. Everything's going wrong. He's facing disappointment in a major way. And he gets to this point in the middle of chapter 3. He says, I call this to mind and therefore I have hope. It's like his hope is renewed when he remembers the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And for us, I think we can be the same when disappointment is overwhelming us and consuming us. We need to remember, like this guy did, we need to remember that the steadfast love of the Lord never, never runs out. And that is what renews our hope. You know, this is what it is, coming back to the truth. The well-known passage, almost just to finish with, is in Matthew 11 from the Message. You know, are you tired? Are you worn out? Burned out on religion? You know, sometimes that's what disappointment does to us. It makes us tired and worn out. And what Jesus says is, come to me. Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And this is so important. When disappointment has got a hold of us, let's put it to one side and let's come back to the truth and let's get away with him. Let's get away with him on this journey of relationship so we can recover our life. See, I really believe that those two options I gave us at the beginning of either pushing disappointment away and allowing our hearts to close or taking it on and feeling more pain, they're not the only two options, but they are the two options we tend to go for by default. See, I think the third option of consciously pushing the disappointment to one side and coming back to the truth of who God is and the truth of God's word is the way for us to build our life on the foundation. And that foundation is true and it's solid and it will not change and it will not go away. And that foundation is the solid foundation of living in the center of the Father's love. I just want to end with Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And my encouragement to you this evening is if disappointment is eating away at you, it's just to pause and recognize that your help comes from the Lord. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not sleep. God never goes to sleep. He never lets us down. He never leaves us alone. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. He is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. For me, this is the key when I'm facing disappointment, is to come back to the center of my relationship with him, be focused on him and come back to that sort of waterfall of his love because he is the one who will help me. He is the one who will sustain me. He is the one that will deal with this disappointment. Now, the reality is that sometimes there are situations that do not change. But God, our Father, always loves us. And his love for us never, ever runs out. And if we can bring ourselves back to that place where we are living in love and we've allowed the eternal hope to be our true hope, then that will not disappoint us, and that will enable us to face the other disappointments we face from a better perspective. So I hope that's been helpful. I just want to pray and just ask Father to come to us, to comfort us in times when we're feeling disappointed. And then Barry, just feel free to come back. Father, I thank you that when we face disappointment, when we face the very real things that do get us down, when we face things that eat away at us and rob us of the life, Father, I thank you that there is an eternal hope that we can have. And that eternal hope is your love being poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And Father, for my brothers and sisters tonight who are facing disappointment, Father, maybe in sickness, maybe in finances, maybe in relationships, Father, I pray, Father, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would cause there to be a shift in their life that brings them back to the centrality of your love, that brings them back to the centrality of this eternal hope in you. Father, I pray that you would speak to them once again, that you would speak to them out of your word, that you would bring life and encouragement into their hearts. Father, I just pray right now that there would be a wave of love that goes right around the world, and that, Father, your love would be poured into our hearts through your Holy Spirit. And, Father, where we face real things that we're disappointed with, or disappointment is eating away at us, Father, I pray that your love would come and sustain us. Father, this evening we give those things to you. Father, we give those areas of disappointment to you. Father, where our hope has been destroyed, Father, we ask you to come and renew our hope in you. Father, we give all these areas of disappointment to you. And we ask you, Father, to root us and ground us in love. Father, we don't want to push them away and allow our heart to be closed. We don't want to suffer more pain. So, Father, we give these disappointments to you. And we ask you, Father, to pour your love into our hearts so that we would be once again reassured of our eternal hope and destiny as your sons and daughters. Father, thank you. Thank you for your love. And Father, just come and minister to your sons and daughters now. Just quietly as we're sitting before you, Father, just minister your love to them. Father, thank you. Amen. Thank you, Father.